good to be able to follow in the Bible and, you know, make notes. Because something might suddenly just come along and just boom, hit you and think, wow, I've never heard that before, never seen that before. It happens to me. Even when I'm preparing a word to bring to people, something, there's a new thought. There's a new revelation. There's a new aspect of God that I have never seen, never heard of before, and it just explodes within me, and I think, wow, this is my God. You know, He's a God of variety. He's a God of differences. And it is amazing to see God moving. Hallelujah. So this Psalm 118, was probably written by Moses during the days of the Exodus, coming out of Egypt and being delivered from the hands of the Pharaoh and all that oppression. And Moses starts off this psalm. Now, most of you think the psalms were all written by David. Well, here you go. Here's the one that wasn't. Hallelujah. He wrote many of the psalms, yes. You know, but these are the songs of the children of God that are put together. One of our first songs, some of you had never heard that before. That was a song that the Lord gave to me. And we will worship. You know? Jesus said, if you don't, these stones will cry out. You know, and God gave me that song one day during service, and it's like I had this new song came into my spirit, and I just wrote it down and just began to thank the Lord for it. And so this psalm says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, God is good. Amen. God is good. Unless, hang on. God is good to me. Come on. God is good to me. Hallelujah. Every time He's there, He's holding our hands. He's with us side by side. You know, the only time that you feel God is not there is because you've walked away. Because you turned your back on Him. Because you switched your hearing aids off. Right? He's still there. Because He has to be. Because His Word says, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. So, if He's never going to leave us and never going to forsake us, the only way we can break this is when we decide we're walking away. Or trying to. Oh, listen. I've done it, you know. He lets you have this long lead. And you've seen people with these dogs and they have this long lead, don't they? It's all rolled up and they let the dog out till the dog gets to the point and they just pull it back. But, you know, God's got a lead on you. He just lets you go, lets you keep running. And then all you think you get to that place, I've escaped. And then all of a sudden God just, and it's like, oh, what happened? You're still connected somewhere along the line. I ran for 12 months. I'm telling you, I managed 12 months. And then God got hold of me. He got hold of me. And here I am. You know, and you've had to suffer it ever since. Praise God. You have had to suffer me because God would not let me go. And you know, God does not want to let you go. Praise His wonderful name. And so, we can thank the Lord for His goodness towards us, for His loving kindness, it says, is everlasting. It's non-stop. It doesn't run out. It's going on and on forever and ever and ever. And verse 2 says, oh, let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the nations say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 3, oh, let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the priesthood of God begin to say, His love is everlasting. And verse 4 says, and let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. This is a term that the Jew, you know, the fact that the The fear of the Lord, this is the term that they're using is, the Jews are using this towards the Gentiles. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, it says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. And so we need to realize that God is looking out for every one of us. God is always going to be there. You will go through circumstances. You will go through challenges. You will go through difficulties, because God never ever said when you come to Jesus, everything will be nice, smooth and easy. Because when you came to Jesus, suddenly there was a target painted on your back and the devil said, I'm after you. You're a danger. I need to stop you. Because every morning that you awake, the devil sees you and thinks, oh, not another Jesus has woken this morning. Another Christ, another risen one has woken. And they are trouble when they get hold of the Word. They are a problem to me. We're more than a problem, we're more than conquerors to Him. And you know, we've got to press in. We've got to push in, let this Word become real in our lives. And let it drive us forward in great victory and great power. Amen. Verse 5 says, from my distresses I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me. You ever been in distress? We heard about David's distress during the lockdown. Who did he call upon? He called upon Jesus. He called upon the Lord. We prayed together. And this is it, when brethren dwell together in unity, then God commands the blessing, life forevermore. And you know, when it says, when you take your authority that Jesus has given to us. You see, Jesus says, I give to you all power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Now learn to use it. We can have power and authority, but not know how to use it. It's hopeless. Useless. This is a simple one. I remember a situation. I was at university and I went to work for a company during the summer break, a steel foundry. And I ended up one day going out with a chap, and we were delivering steel castings to some firms around. And this guy said to me, do you want to drive the truck? So I said, yeah, I'll drive the truck. And he says, I hate driving this truck. He says, it's an automatic. And he says, it's as sluggish and slow as anything. It's rubbish. So I said, oh, okay. Well, my dad had got an automatic. And there's a thing called kickdown on an automatic. Nobody knew about kickdown on this truck, right? This kickdown had never been used for years. So as I was driving along, I needed to change down gear using kickdown. I kicked down, nothing happened. Oh, that's strange. So I kicked it again, nothing happened. So I kicked it again, and then guess what? Something happened, and literally the truck set off, and the guy went, whoa, what did you just do? I said, I'm using what it's got. I'm using its kickdown power. What's that? You could, you know, the power was there. But guess what? Do you know what? They'd never read the book. They'd never read the book. They'd never read the manual. You see, this is a manual. The Word of God is a manual for living life on earth. This is obsolete when we get to heaven. This is for now. Don't think, well, when I get to heaven, I'll read it. It's too late. It's the now book. God is the God of the now. Hallelujah. Now, faith is. You know, when we teach people on healing, when is God going to heal you? Now. God is a now. When is God going to save you? Now. When has God forgiven you? Now. When is God going to love you? Now. He's a now God. Hallelujah, glory to Jesus. I'm resisting it. Can you see? I'm under pressure, you know. Glory to Jesus. He says in verse 5, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. God has a place for you. God not only has a place for you, God has a purpose for you, and God has a plan for you. Wow. He's a plan for you. He's a purpose for you. You exist with a purpose in life. You exist with a plan for your life. But the devil don't want you to fulfill it. He wants to destroy you. He wants to stop you. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. And so we need to be ready to walk into that plan, into that purpose, and let God begin to fill it. Verse 6 says, "The Lord is for me, and I will not fear." Hey, God is for you. The Creator of the universe, the Creator of all things, He's for you. He's not against you. You've got to catch hold of that. You know, you get people say, "Oh, God hates me. God don't like me." No, He don't. What does it say above my head up here? God is love. That's right out of the book. God is love. You know, I use the analogy. You know, we go to the seaside and we go to Scarborough, you buy a piece of rock, don't you? And at one end it says Scarborough, doesn't it? And at the other end, what does it say? Scarborough. And if you cut it in the middle, what does it say? Right. And if you cut it somewhere else, what does it say? Scarborough. And no matter where you come and meet God, do you know what it says about God every time? God is love. God is love. No matter what, whereabouts you meet God, under what circumstances you meet God, it always says, God is love. Because of the blood of Jesus. Because of His compassion and His love for you, Jesus came because God is love. And Jesus came to show us that love of God. Oh, it excites me. Hallelujah. God is love. And He loves me. You know, the sinner. Well, I was. But now I'm a saint. Who sins occasionally. There's a big difference, you see. You see, Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus. Who's he writing to? He's not writing to stained glass windows. You don't write to windows, do you? You don't write to a statue, do you? You write to real people. And Paul's writing to the saints at Ephesus. Hallelujah. And you know, we're reading it, so he's writing to us, to the saints in Doncaster. Glory to God. Look at somebody across the room and say, "You're a saint." Hallelujah. You're a saint. Praise His wonderful name. You know, you might not feel it some days, but you don't go on what you feel. You go on the Word of God. If God said it, then it's done. If God says it, it's true and He means it. Right? All we need to do is just get in line with it. We just need, like I said a few weeks ago, change our stinking thinking. Just change your thinking. And it's a challenge. It's a process. I know it is. Because even in this lockdown situation that we've been in, our minds have been bombarded by negativity upon negativity upon negativity upon negativity, and fear upon fear upon fear upon fear. I quit listening. I turned it off. I'd had enough. You know, I thought, forget it. I'm not doing this. It's not coming in my home. I'm not taking it on board. And do you know, the moment I did that, my spirit rose up and I just started, as you know, on Messenger, our group Messenger that we have for the church, I suddenly started, this inspirational thoughts kept coming to me. Do you know why? Because I turned off the negativity of the world, I turned off the fear of the world, and I turned back to the Word of God and said, God is my strength, God is my future, God is my hope, God is my purpose. And that the devil has been caught stealing from me. What has he stolen from me? He tried stealing money from David. Well, you know, from every one of us, the devil has tried to steal time. He's been stealing time. You know, some people have been caught in drugs and alcohol and other things, and the devil has stolen time of you, right? Well, guess what? God is a redeemer. When the devil's been caught, the Word says he has to repay back to us. And I said to the devil, "You've stolen some months off me, off my life. I know I'm not sort of getting any younger, but I don't feel old, and I'm not going to act old. And it's like, you're not taking any more years off me. I'm having double portions. I'm having seven times as much as you've stolen off me, repaid back to me, because I've got things to do for God. Yeah, places to go, people to see, things to do in Jesus. Signs, wonders and miracles. Amen? Glory to God. And so, devil, you've upset me. Devil, I'm ticked off. And so, devil, guess what? I am going to be even a bigger thorn in your flesh, in your side. I'm going to be that. I am going to stamp on your head so hard. I am going to crush it so many times. You will wish you never messed. This is, you know, folk, we have got to rise up and say, I'm not putting up with this. Not putting up with it. All power and all authority in that mighty name of Jesus, who dwells in earthen vessels, who sent His Holy Spirit to dwell in each and every one of us for His praise and for His glory. Hallelujah. You know, the Revised Standard says to me, when I was in distress, I prayed to the Lord and He answered and rescued me. God rescues us. Just remember that. He's not going to leave you floundering. God is there to rescue us. In the message it says here, it says, out of my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Verse 8, it says, it is better, in my version, I'm reading from the American Standard, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. The message says, it's far better to take refuge in God than trust in celebrities. It gets me on TV. Oh, you know, we've got celebrities on. Yeah, they had fame for 15 minutes one day. You know, now they're a celebrity. Hello? What have they done with their lives? Sold it to the devil in some cases. We've heard stories of pop stars selling themselves over to the devil to get fame and fortune. Well, guess what? You won't keep it. You won't keep it. It's, your life is the... Do you know the most valuable thing that you and I have right now? One of the most valuable things is your life. The only thing that you can give to God is your life. That's all you've got. That is the most valuable thing. The life that you have. Surrendered to God. And as we surrender our lives to God, you know, He can take that and He can cause it to multiply and multiply and multiply in more ways than one. You know, I look at Daniel and I thank God because of Grace and I, Daniel's here. We have Leisha because of that. And so it goes on. And Stacy, Christine was led to the Lord by Grace. You know, and so life, so it goes on. And there are many down the line that our lives can touch and reach and bring them to Christ for the great future. Let the church of God arise and let its enemies be scattered. Amen? Praise His wonderful name. You know, the Bible tells us to trust in God, to take refuge in God. Do you know something? We've heard this, particularly in this past 3 months, we've heard so much fake news, we've heard so much false news, we've heard so much rubbish and garbage that people want to pontificate and think they're important, makes them look good and sound good, and then find out a few days later what they were talking about has been a load of rubbish. And has had no foundation whatsoever. Now, if you want to find out what is important, if you want to find out what really works, then you turn to this book. One of the lovely things I find in this book, the Word of God, I find in Job. And it's in Job chapter 38. You've no need to turn to it. And it's verse 16. And it's in Job chapter 38 where Job and God are talking, and God tells Job, do you know about the freshwater springs that are coming up in the oceans, in the bottom of the oceans? Now, I want you to remember in the Word of God, Job is one of the first books to be written, if not the first book. And God and Job are having this conversation when he's going through his challenges. God says, do you know? How smart are you? He said, no, I didn't know about that. Well, that was written probably 4,000 years ago at least, right? It took us till 2017, scientists, to actually find out that in the North Sea, there are freshwater springs bubbling up in the ocean bed. Could have saved them a lot of money if they just read the Word of God and believe the Word of God and stand on the promises of God and find out that God is more able to do more than we ask or think and we can ever believe. And I just find that incredible. So when you begin to read this book and people say, oh, it's just a full of stories. Yeah, some are stories. Some are facts. Some are promises. Some are prophetic. Hallelujah. And there are many blessings in this. So it's a fantastic manual to live a life on earth for you and for me. Take for instance the walls of Jericho. What does it say in the Bible about the walls of Jericho? It says, and the walls came tumbling down. They didn't do this. They didn't fall over. He said, now you see, they couldn't have fallen over for one fact. You could ride 3 or 4 chariots across the top of these walls side by side. These walls were that thick. There were houses built within the walls. And so they were so wide, it's impossible for them to do that. Right? I just find it funny. You know, when God said, I'm going to bring the walls down, Joshua, just keep walking around. I mean, what a dumb idea. You know, if I said to you, what we're going to do, we're going to walk around the walls and, you know, eventually the walls will come down. You'd all look at me and think, you've lost it. You know? And this is why God said to him, don't let the people speak. There's going to be no negative confession. There's going to be no negative thought. There's going to be no fear spoken by any of them to negate what I am about to do. And they walk round, and then all of a sudden, the walls went down. How did it happen? I can just imagine God sent his angels and said, go and jump on them walls, will you? All these mighty angels, you know, coming down and like, oh, you know. And God said, oh, by the way, don't forget, the one with the scarlet cord, don't put that one on the ground. Keep it up, you know. And there they are. Ha ha! Oh, there's another one! Ha ha! Archaeologists went and found them, you know. They're down there. They weren't falling over. They're down. The book says so. The Word of God is true. It's true. And now, sometimes, how incredible and how impossible it seems to be, it does not change the fact that it is true. God is not a man that he should lie. The Word is true. Praise his wonderful name. The other great one I want to mention today is the fact that Jesus rose on the third day from the dead in victory over sin, death. That has no dominion over him. Hallelujah. Sin, sickness and disease were defeated as he, you know, rose again from the dead. Everything. He took it all upon himself. And in doing so, he surrendered himself to death. But then he took up his life, having paid the price. And he arose from the grave. Victorious. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. What a Saviour. What a Jesus we worship. So you see, the psalmist is encouraging you and I to trust in the Lord. trust in the Lord. Don't trust in the media. Don't trust in what it's portraying. Trust in the Word of God. Begin to listen. Tune in to the voice of God. Tune in to the Spirit of God. Because you see, the Spirit of God wants to speak to each and every one of us. Oh, me. But I'm nobody. You're a child of the living God. That's who you are. And don't you dare say that you are nobody. You may be on the journey in growing and being shaped and molded. We're on the potter's wheel, being formed and shaped for service, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, many people write, this is an aside, write King, capital K, King of Kings, capital K. No, it's not. It's King, capital K, Jesus, of Kings, small k, the kings of this world. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of those that seek to lord it over us. Hallelujah. Don't make the world bigger than what it really is. You know, let's exalt Jesus. He's over all. He's over all. He rules and reigns. He's victorious, forever glorious. Hallelujah. He reigns supreme. You know, Micah said in chapter 7 and verse 8, Micah says, "Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I shall arise." In other words, you know, we're journeying along with God, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, down you go. And it's like, oh God, I've fallen. Oh, what am I going to do, God? I've fallen, I've failed, I've made a mistake. What am I going to do? And God's saying, get up. Get up. Get up. What do you mean, get up? Get up. But Lord, I've fallen. Yeah, but get up. And in the strength of God, we arise. We've fallen, but we're forgiven. And you know, you might say, well, I lost the battle. No, you didn't. You know, in a boxing match, in a wrestling match, you might get knocked down. But if you get up before 10 comes, you're still in it. You're still in it. Okay? And the end result lies within you. Because of what God has placed within you. Because of this word that is operating within each and every one of us. This word will bring us into that victory. This word will bring us into the promises of God. Never mind what's going on outside. He has the victory. Yeah. You know, there were plagues in the Bible. And God stopped them through Moses. Yeah. And if our nations will turn back to God, God will stop the things that are going on. Yeah. You know, God will cause the land to be blessed when we turn back to God. You read the Word of God and you see that the land had gone. It wasn't bringing forth fruit. There was nothing happening. There was nothing good in the land because the people had turned their backs on the blessing. They turned their backs on the blesser, God Almighty. But you know, the moment that they turned back to God, suddenly the land began to produce fruit. How does that happen? It's the same piece of land. It's the same water. What has changed? You've changed. When we turn to God, when we focus in on God, and when we allow God to be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, He turns our curses into blessings. He changes the direction of things. He changes, in the spiritual dynamics, He changes things that you cannot understand. Daniel and I, we were talking about a story that I told a number of years ago. And this was from a minister called Ian Andrews. Tremendous healing ministry he had. And he was in Canada. and he was leading a healing crusade in a Roman Catholic big conference. And he said, as he was telling the story, he says, "Oh, it was dry. It was difficult." And I said to God one morning, I said, "God, I need a miracle to get this thing kicked off. There is so much negative. There's so much unbelief. God, I just need a miracle." And so God spoke to me and said, "There's going to be a man on crutches." He says, "When he comes for healing, what I want you to do is to just push him off his crutches." Well, I said, "Well, that's easy enough, isn't it? Anybody can do that, can't they? Just push him off his crutches." And he says, "And I'll heal him." So the next morning, the meeting, he preaches and he calls the prayer line, and this man on crutches comes down. Comes up on the platform. He and Andrew's made a mistake. He said to him, "What's wrong with you?" You know, this God did not say, ask him what was wrong with him, right? He said, "Just push him off his crutches." But he and Andrew said, "What's wrong with you?" And the man said, "Well, I was in one of the wars." He said, "And I've got some pieces of shrapnel in my back, and it's paralysed me. I can hardly walk. You know, I'm just about totally paralysed." And he said, "They're inoperable because they're so deep. And they've said to me, if any sudden movement happens at all, I'll be totally paralysed from head to toe." And Andrew said, why did I ask? Suddenly he's like being bombarded by doubts and fears and negative thoughts, and he's thinking, "And God, I have to do that?" And God says, "Yeah, that's what I told you to do. I didn't ask you to ask him." So he said, "Oh, okay." And so Ian Andrews did not tell this guy what he was going to do. And so Ian Andrews began to pray for him, and then from the back of his head he just pushed him forward with a real force, and this guy ran across the platform. He staggered at first and then started running across the platform. He came running back totally healed, could bend down, jump up and down, absolutely healed. Well, at that point the conference just exploded. You see, God had performed a miracle upon miracles. You see, the story doesn't end there though, sadly. It ends like this, that some years later Ian Andrews was running another conference, and this man that he'd met those years back was in a wheelchair. And the man came up to Ian Andrews and says, "Do you remember me?" And I looked at him and said, "No, I don't." And he told him about what had happened. And Ian Andrews said, "So, why are you in the wheelchair?" He said, "I walked away from God. I turned my back on God." He said, "And I became totally paralyzed because of it." Now, just think about this for a moment. That piece of shrapnel is brittle. It can't move. It's in his back. Yet when God touched him and healed him, God moved in a scientific way. And he changed the dynamics of that shrapnel. And it became soft and flexible, malleable in his back. God didn't remove it, but God changed its physics. But you know, and whilst the anointing is upon us, God changes things. And you say, "Oh, I can't believe that, Andrew." Let me tell you this. I had a back problem for many years. And I tell you this. When I got up to preach, when I started preaching, I was no longer in pain. And I would preach for ages. Because I tell you what, when you've been in pain for nearly 7 days, and you're out of pain for a couple of hours, I'm like, I am preaching. I'm going to preach because I have got no pain whatsoever. And it would last for 3 or 4 hours. Well into the night, basically. And I'm just like, you know, there's something going on in this. And the thing that, you know, God can change things, but it's all about being connected to the one who's the changer. You know, God can change your thinking. God can change what is happening in your body. How He does it, I've no idea. He's God, I'm just one of His servants. But I believe it. I know it to be true. I've seen it. How does God open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears? I have no idea. The only idea I have is the fact He says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I know that that is the pathway. And I know the ministers who say, I don't believe in healing. Well, I don't care whether you believe in it or not. I do. I've seen it. I came to faith through seeing people healed, through blind eyes and deaf ears being opened, through seeing the cripples walk. See, my Jesus is faithful to His word and to His promise. My Jesus is a miracle worker. Is your Jesus the same Jesus that I worship? Is your Jesus the same Jesus that I follow? Because this is the Jesus. And you know, believe it or not, Jesus does not want to do it just through Andrew and one or two of the leaders. Jesus wants to do it through His saints. It's the body that does the work of God. And you know, I started to take people on missions. Why? Because I want them to be there involved, laying hands on the sick, seeing people healed, seeing people delivered, seeing people set free. It is so exciting when that begins to happen. When Daniel and I have been on missions, a couple of times, just recently when we were out on missions in Romania, there was a crowd of people. I'm at the left hand side praying for folk. Daniel's over there. Somebody else is praying. Somebody else is praying. We don't know who's being prayed for. And there's this man, he stood there. I thought, oh, he must have come later to be prayed for. So I went to pray for him, and as I started to lay hands on him and pray for him, Daniel walks towards me, thinking, oh, I've already prayed for this guy. And I said exactly what Daniel had said to him. So this guy got it from one side, and then he got it from the other side. Like, you know, hey, come on, sharpen up. And Daniel's like, whoa. I just told him that. Did you? Why, when did you pray for him? The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in each and every one of us and says the same thing. He's not a contradictor. And that happened at least twice. It happened once with a lady, I think it was, that I'd prayed for. Then he comes along to pray for this lady, not knowing I'd prayed for, said exactly the same thing. I'm like, whoa, glory to God. You know, we're hearing the voice of the Spirit. We're in tune with the Spirit of God. We're in unity with God. We're in unity with others. And God is causing signs, wonders, and miracles to come. Hallelujah. That's where the church should be. That's the destiny of the church. Not with the door shut, the doors open, laying hands on the sick, miracles happening. And the fact that when you go out, you are equipped, you're empowered, and when you walk out of here and you bump into somebody that's sick and that, you say, I can pray with you. Because my Jesus is a healing Jesus. You say, really? Yeah, okay. And you pray for one of the most exciting things is when you see people get healed, you walk about that far off the ground. Oh, you know, I've gone home walking on air thinking, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. But it's keeping our hearts right. And in all that, we give glory to Him. It's not glory to me. It's not glory to Daniel. We're just vessels. We just pour out. We leak. We make sure that we always give glory to God. And it is God who heals. I'm not a healer. I thank God that He allows me to be involved in the miracles that God wants to work in people's lives. I'm drifting off my message, but glory to Jesus. I don't know when I started. That clock stopped over there, so who knows what time it is. Praise the Lord. So we're set for victory. You know, verses 15 through to 18, it states there is victory in Christ. Because at the right hand of God, there Jesus sits. in victory, to deliver us, to bring His work into action. You know, verse 14 says in that Psalm 18, it says, "The Lord is my strength and song."
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, the song is in the hearts of the saints. It's not in the mouths of the angels.
No.
They speak. We sing.
Yeah.
We sing a new song.
Okay.
Giving glory to Him. Jesus, the one who has saved us and set us free. Verse 15 says, "The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tent of the righteous." Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God! Praise His wonderful name! You know, we're the righteous. We should have joy. There should be shouting and singing and praising God. Hallelujah, that comes out of us. I know we shouldn't be doing it, they say, in lockdown, but I can't resist it. They'll have to lock me up totally, because I am not, you know, the stone's not going to cry out. Andrew will cry out. Hallelujah. He is risen. He's ascended. He is glorified and He is magnified, and I will praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. Amen. Where are we? Verse 15, "The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Verse 17, "I shall not die, but live and tell the works of the Lord." Glory, what a promise. I'm not going to die, David. You've got me for a while.
Yes.
I'm going to live. And I'm going to shout about the works of God. I am going to declare the glory of God. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. And we have to begin to do this. We're not dying. We're born to live.
Yeah.
We're created to live in Christ.
Amen.
We're created to live for the victory of Christ Jesus and to exalt His name. You know, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And when the enemy comes in against us, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. Amen. And you know, we've got to continue pressing in and believing God. You know, sometimes we make mistakes, but God's bigger than our mistakes. And we just bow and submit to Him. Verse 19 says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord." Hallelujah. Open the gates. Open your heart to the Lord. Let that new heart that God gives to you begin to take you forward. Don't let the old ways, don't let your old hearts try and start beating again. You know, we talked the other day about crucifying the flesh daily. You know, God wants to open to you and to me those spiritual gifts. Those spiritual gates.
Yeah.
He wants to open them to you. They're there for you. They are the promises of God. They are there to be used to reach the lives of men and women in this world. They're not to use on you and me. They're to use to win men and women to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you know, let those spiritual gates be open. Let there be an outpouring of the very presence and the very righteousness of God in our lives. You know, when the Bible tells us that only the righteous shall enter into heaven. Well, guess what? The only way that you and I are going to be righteous is when we have Christ in our lives and He makes us righteous. You don't do it yourself. It's not by your works. It's not by your efforts or my efforts, but it is by the work of Jesus Christ that His righteousness is thrown over us. It covers us. His blood cleanses us. His blood sets us free from sin, sickness and disease. By His stripes, we are the healed. Praise His wonderful name. Verse 21, "I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation." You know, when you call unto God, I said right at the beginning, God is always there. When you call unto God, He's going to answer you. God is your salvation. God is your deliverer. Praise His wonderful name. God wants to use you to a place and to a purpose to change other people's lives. You see, you are a living testimony to the power and to the glory of the victory of the cross today. And you know, in that victory, and you might say, but Andrew, I'm not perfect, neither am I. But we are on the road to perfection. We are on this journey of being perfected in Christ Jesus. Well, I've got weaknesses, I've got faults, I've still got habits that I can't kick yet. Don't worry, God's at work. You stay in there. You know, put a piece of clay, because that's all we are, a piece of clay. Put it on the potter's wheel. And let the hands of the potter begin to mould you and to shape you and to form you. And remove every bit of deformity. Everything that is in there that could disfigure you, that could crack you and break you. The hands of the potter will feel it and remove it. Because He wants you to be that vessel. He's creating in you a vessel of honour for His praise and for His glory. Praise His wonderful name. Verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected. Hallelujah. The stone that the builders have rejected. He became the chief cornerstone. You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders, the nation of Israel rejected Jesus. They cast Him to one side. But guess what? What they cast to one side, God took hold of and made Him that chief cornerstone. If you go outside of our building, just round here, there's a foundation stone, they call it. And on there is the dates and details. It's like the chief cornerstone of the building. You know, in the old days, they would set a cornerstone. And from that cornerstone, every measurement, every level was taken from that very point. That was the thing. Nothing else. You didn't measure from anything else. You measured from this cornerstone. Because that set the building. That set the building on its purpose, on its journey to its completion. And guess what? When you have Christ in your life, that chief cornerstone, Him, the chief cornerstone in our life, sets us on a journey with a purpose, and He is going to establish you. He's going to form you and create you, and you'll not be crooked. You'll not be leaning over. You'll not be out of square. You'll be made perfect in His image. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. And so, He's the cornerstone. Let Him be the cornerstone in your life. He's the stone that you can set your life on and know that it will never crumble. That story in the Bible where it says, and the wise man built his house upon a rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. Build your life on Jesus. Don't build it on sand. Don't build it on flittering things that just come by and through, because guess what? At some stage, the house will fall. You need to be on a strong foundation, and that strong foundation is the Word of God. It's Christ Jesus in your life. You know, bright lights will come by. Things will come by that, you know, think, ooh, that's nice, isn't it? It's cheap, it's tacky. When you look at it in depth, you find it's worth little or nothing. And all it's doing, in the end, is taking from you. It's robbing you. It's stealing from you. Jesus said, John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, drugs. They steal. They kill. They destroy. Alcohol. It steals. It kills. It destroys. Gambling. You can go on and on and on. And then, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just trying to say, open your eyes. See that God loves you. See that God has got an alternative for you. And He will walk you towards His blessings. He will walk you into His presence. He will guide you. Around about us are the everlasting arms of God. Hallelujah. You know, you may have trouble in your mind at times. Listen to the Word. Listen to what God is saying. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Turn off the news. It's garbage. It's all fear-mongering. It's even worse in America. When we go to the States, the news, and it's just appalling. The fear-mongering. The people live in fear. Believers in Jesus Christ live in fear. Oh, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid that's going to be. I'm afraid that's going to be. Has not Christ got hold of your hand? Have not you surrendered your life to Christ? Can you not trust Him? That no matter what is going on in the world, He will take you through. When there were times of famine, God kept His people. Isaac sowed in a time of famine and reaped a harvest, it says. Matt Grace and I, the life that we've lived, when I gave up my job working in industry, the numbers on the calculator said you were in debt. You know something? We've never, ever been in debt. You know why? I tell you, one of the reasons is God is faithful to His promise, but at the same time, we stored up our treasure in the storehouse of God. Right? We gave of what we had unto the Lord. We offered it as a living sacrifice. You know, that's me in here. You understand what I'm saying? That's my time. That's my effort. That's my thinking, my ingenuity. That's me in here. And I've given some of that to God. Right? That's what we do. And you know, as we give to God, He says He's no man's debtor. And I'm not just talking about money. Your time. Your effort. Time in His presence. See, Jesus didn't die for just 10% of you. He died for 100% of you. Everything I have, everything I am, everything that I ever will be, belongs to Him. Anything that I achieve in the future will be because of Christ. And it will be to His praise and to His glory. Right? Not me. All I'm doing is I'm trying to be obedient. I'm trying to follow the Master. And it's like, what can I do, God? What can I do? And as we do it, He says He'll give back to us. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Shaken together. And running over. Shall God give into each and every one of us. I'm just finishing off now. You know, the religious people rejected Him. They rejected the cornerstone. They rejected the foundation for their future. They cast Him out. But God used Him as the marker. God used Him as that place. God used Him to set things in order. Because that's what happened. He set things in order. Our thinking has to change. Our attitude to the world has to change. It doesn't have all the answers. God does. You know, when we gave our lives to Christ, it says we became a new creation. We're a different species. We're no longer what we were. We are a different species. Hallelujah. And it is all because of Christ. Verse 26 says, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Just pause on that thought for a moment. Remember what I said right at the beginning? This was written possibly over 4,000 years ago. Moses wrote it. And here he is saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's prophesying now. He's prophesying about the Christ. Blessed, you know, John the Baptist said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's prophesying of what John will say. That Jesus is coming. He's prophesying about the deliverer. Yet he's already been delivered from the Egyptians, but he's saying, no. There is a greater deliverer than Moses. And he's coming. Greater is he. He's coming to deliver us all. He's coming to set us free. He's coming to bring freedom. He's coming to empower us. He's coming to renew the relationship that has been damaged, that's been cut off between us and our Creator. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Come in the name of the Lord and be a blessing. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord, it says. The Lord is God. He has given us light.
Yes.
This is the light.
Yes.
Jesus said, I'm the light of the world.
Yes.
And he said, you are lights in this world.
Yes.
Praise God. And finally, in verse 29, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting.
Yes.
Moses starts off with, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting, for he is good. And he finishes off, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. What he started with, he finished with. Run the race. Run the race. Start well. Finish well. How are we going to do that? Keep our eyes, our ears, our spirit fixed on Jesus, on the Holy Spirit, on God the Father, and you will have victory upon victory. You will see God moving in power. You will know the blessings of God, and you will know an empowering of God, and you will have so much to give thanks for that every day that you wake, you'll say, I must give thanks to God, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. For he is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Praise his wonderful name. Thank you for your time and your attention. The Lord, I hope you've been blessed and encouraged today. You know, we're just going to go forward in victory and in strength. Amen. Amen. Praise God.